welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you always the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. Luke 19:10 tells us clearly that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, glad that you tuned in today. Pray that our time together will be a blessing. I've got my Bible open to the book of Hebrews, right after the book of Philemon, right before the book of James, chapter 2. And as soon as Debbie does this song, the title of it is, Jesus Will Stand. I'll share the message with you as God has shared it with me. You pray for me, won't you? Look forward to the message and mine. Look forward to our time spent together. Enjoy!
Standing in the midst of much people.
Jesus will stand.
Well, you know what I wanted to say all through that song? Glory, hallelujah, how true that is. He'll be standing there one day, thank God, in all of His glory. And the Bible says here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. But we see Jesus in chapter 2. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 5 and read rather quickly, by the way. The Bible said, for unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now watch this. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. If we were to read on, we'd not only find that it became him, but it behooved him to be made like and unto the sons of men. Thank God. I want to talk to you a little while about, but we see Jesus. Oh, we need to see Him. Do you hear me, friend? We need to see Him. Bless God who is, who was, who always shall be. We need to see that virgin-born Son of Mary, that sinless, only begotten Son of God. We need to see Jesus in all of His glory. Not as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not even as our substitute hanging at Calvary, suspended between the heaven and the earth. Though those two pictures of Him are exceedingly important, though, friend, we learn something mighty about Him as we consider Him in His youth, in His infancy, in His birth, as well as in His substitutionary death for you and I. But oh, I believe we need to seem like John saw Him on the Isle of Patmos, thank God, as that judge of the churches, as that one who was clothed, bless God, with a robe down to His feet. He had a golden girdle about His waist, whose eyes were as flame as fire, whose hair was white as wool, whose feet looked as if they had been burned in the fire as burnished brass. Oh, we need to see Him, bless God, who was, who is, and who ever shall be. We need to see Him, bless God, not just in His humiliation, as I've already mentioned it, though we'll mention some additional things about it, but we need to see Him, bless God, in His glory, in His majesty, in His might, and in His power. We need to see Jesus, thank God, especially in light of all that we see in our world, all that we see around us, transpiring that which is questionable, that which is sinful, that which is immoral, that which is temporal. Oh, friend, we need to see Jesus, and we need to see Him, bless God. Now listen to this clearly. Not as man considers Him, but as God presents Him clearly in the Word of God, emphatically, truly, bless God, repetitively. We need to see Jesus Christ. And I like that. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we got a man in glory. I'm glad, thank God, that day on the Mount of Olivet, after Jesus had proven His resurrection with many infallible proofs to those that He knew, His disciples, His apostles. Thank God. Listen, on that day, 40 days after His resurrection, when He was ready to ascend back to the Father from which He came, thank God, when He was received out of the sight of those that stood there, there were two angels that appeared and said, hey, why stand ye here gazing in the heaven? I like this. And said the same Jesus, this same Jesus that you see going away shall come again in like manner. I like it when Paul said to Timothy over in the first letter that he wrote to that young man of God, that young pastor at Ephesus. He said, listen, there is one mediator between God and man, men, the man Jesus Christ. I'm glad we've got a faithful high priest. Bless God who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm glad when we look up to the throne of grace to go there to find what we don't deserve, but everything that we need. I'm glad that we find somebody there. Thank God that used to walk among us, that still represents us, that took back the body, bless God, a glorified body, back to heaven, listen, to be our great high priest. I'm glad. I'm glad that we can see Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God. As we think about this letter, this epistle to the Hebrews that I believe the Apostle Paul wrote, we need to realize that as this book begins, thank God, the writer was wanting to convince those Hebrews brethren of his to realize that this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this virgin-born Son of Mary, this supposed son of the carpenter Joseph of Nazareth of Galilee, this writer wanted them to see him for who he was. He said, hey, let me tell you something. Bless God, let me tell you just in the beginning of this little book. He said, look, he's better than the prophets. The prophets wrote about him. I mean, they did it in many ways. And they did it under divers or different types of illustration. But thank God, listen, this is the real thing. This Jesus Paul was saying to these Hebrews that were in a dire strait, that needed to hear the truth from God's man, from Almighty God. That they needed to hear, thank God, that He was the Messiah, that He was Yeshua HaMashiach, that He was the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, of Genesis 22. Thank God that He was that seed of the woman that was promised back in Genesis chapter 3. Thank God, listen, Paul begins, and he said, hey, the prophets wrote about this man, and as great as the prophets were, they weren't greater than the one that they were writing about. Thank God, I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad today that we can see Jesus. And Paul goes on to say, and I know I'm just hitting the highlights of this, it demands more time, more exposition, a clearer presentation than I'm giving it, but he said, hey, I want to tell you something. He's not only greater than the prophets that wrote about Him, the prophets that wondered about Him, the prophets that saw Him to some degree. But bless God, He's greater than the angels. Oh, how wonderful that is. He said, now which one of the angels has God ever said, look, you sit here on my throne and I'll exalt you. You know what the writer was saying? Well, he didn't say that to anybody. As great, no doubt, thank God, as the cherubims are that surround the throne of God and ever cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. Thank God, listen, they're even under God's only begotten Son, Jesus. Why, even that angel Gabriel, thank God, who is a messenger angel, it seems to me, to the nation of Israel, even he is under his Son. Why, that even an angel that the Bible, that one angel the Bible refers to as the archangel. Thank God his name is Michael. Even he is under Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, now listen, I'm going to tell you something. If this Jesus, bless God, is greater than the prophets who wrote about Him, greater than the angels that ministered to Him, that announced His birth, that watched over Him in Gethsemane and Calvary, that ministered to Him after the temptation in the wilderness, that stood in awe and ready, thank God, to deliver Him, as He called those legions of angels. Oh, the writer goes on to say that, hey, listen, if He is greater than the prophets, greater than the angels, then we best take heed. Bless God to do what He says. We best take heed. I'd to give the more earnest heed to His things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And now the writer, whom I believe to be Paul, went all the way back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, and began to lift up man, lift up a great psalm, and lift up what God thought about man, and how God, out of all of His creation, exalted man to a mighty position. But also in chapter 8 of the book of Psalm, not chapter, in Psalm 8, bless God, we not only see man, God's glory of His creation, we see somebody, hallelujah, that possesses all glory, a greater glory than any man had in a garden, greater glory, bless God, than any man could have anywhere. Whether it be a garden in the beginning, whether it be on the globe called His footstool, or whether it be in the galaxies, bless God that fly under the feet of Jesus. Bless God, He possesses all glory throughout eternity. And the writer said, hey, have you considered Him? Let's look unto Jesus who has, because He went to Calvary. Bless God, everything put under His feet by the divine fiat. The art of Almighty God. He said, this day in one of the Psalms, have I begotten thee. And He's not talking about in His virgin birth. He's not talking about, bless God, that miraculous conception that Mary experienced of the Son of God, God's only begotten, to be fastened inside of her womb. But the writer was saying, this day have I begotten thee out of the death. I've brought you back, bless God, from death. I've brought you out from among the dead, so that men could see Jesus. Thank God. He said, but listen now, but we see Jesus. Do you know? When we see Him, that'll dispel all of our fears. When we see Him, we won't see our problem. When we see Him, bless God for who He is and what He is, how great and grand He is, how glorious and wonderful He is. Thank God, we'll see our enemies for what they really are. We'll see them for how small they are, how incapable they are, how short of fulfilling their desire they are. But we need to see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Thank God, listen, He created angels. He commanded angels. Thank God. Maybe He even counseled with the angels, not to get counsel from Him, from them, but to give them counsel as He does you and I. But I want you to know, thank God, He was made a little lower than the angels, who could not die. Now watch this, for the suffering of death. Oh, thank God. I'm glad God allowed His Son, who is God, that just as God could not die, and yet as God became man, when He was suspended between the heaven and the earth at a place called Calvary on something called a cross, thank God, God did die in our stead. Oh, it was the man part. Thank God of Jesus that died. And yet I could say that God died. And listen to what the writer said here. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He died for me and you, sir. He died for me and you, ma'am. He became our substitute. He not only died for us, but thank God, He died as us. 1 Corinthians 15:3 said, for Christ died for our sins. Don't you like that? I love that. He said, now listen, He was made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death. Now watch this. He was crowned with glory and honor. Thank God. I believe there at Calvary. Oh, I believe there at Calvary, at that gross place, at that gruesome place, at that place where man died. I believe God took a place of death and the instrument of death, and through His Son dying for those who all their lifetime were subject we're in bondage under the fear of death. I believe He put death to death, don't you? I believe right there at Calvary, where multitudes had died, that one day when Jesus died, thank God, out of His death, He brought life. He brought life and immortality to life. Paul said to Timothy again, He brought life and immortality to life in or through the gospel. Thank God, and I believe there at Calvary, there was a glory in that cross that none of us could imagine. When God pulled down that dark veil of darkness, bless God, in the second 3 hours that Jesus spent on Calvary, on the cross of the sixth, and I believe something happened between God and God. And I believe there is a glory there that only God can see. I believe if we are believers would sit down and watch Him there, as Matthew said in his gospel, I believe we'd see the glory of God manifest there. I believe we would see, listen, how that God honored His Son. And you said right there, when He didn't look much like a man, when He was humiliated, when He had all of His bones jerked out of joint. Yeah, I do, friend. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Well, I see beyond the cross like Jesus did it. For 3 days after, thank God, for the joy that was set before Him. Thank God I can see Him coming out from among the dead. He came out to justify those of us that believe. He came out to testify that He was God's Son. He came out to testify that He was Mary's virgin born. He came out to testify that the enemy has been defeated. Sin and Satan, thank God, and the world has been defeated. And the one whom the Son has set free can be free indeed. He came out to let us know that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey! But we see Jesus. We see Jesus not only crowned with glory and honor, but bless God that He, by the grace of God, could taste death for every man. I want you to know when Jesus died, He just didn't take a little bite and spit it out. But look, he tasted of death. I mean to tell you, He went into the depths of death, if you allow me to say it that way. I believe He went as far down, bless God, into the experience of death that any man could. But oh, listen, thank God, listen, death couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't keep Him. He said in a psalm again, He said, Thou would not suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thank God. Listen, it was on the third day. According to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15 again says, Jesus came out from among the dead. He arose with a victor over His foes. He arose from the deep, dark domain. Thank God. And He lives. He lives forevermore. Now there was a little, I don't know where it's little, where it's big, but there was a common idea that when somebody died among the Jews, that their soul or their spirit hovered over their body near their burial place for 3 days before it ascended. Hey, I want you to know something, or for a couple of days before it went away. I want you to know something. Thank God Jesus stayed in the grave long enough to prove that He had died at Calvary. They don't bury somebody that's not dead. But thank God He who was dead is alive, sir. He's alive, man. And He's alive forevermore. And He wants us to see Him. And He wants us to see Him, for it behooved Him, or it became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things. Now watch this, bringing many sons unto glory. Thank God it goes on. Don't have time to get the latter part of that verse. It's bigger than I am, but I'm not afraid of it. But He did all of that, sir, so you could be saved. Did all of that, ma'am, so you could be saved. Thank God, wouldn't you like to be saved today? Wouldn't you like to see Jesus as your Savior? Wouldn't you like to see Him as a promised King returning? Wouldn't you like to see Him for what He did for you? Wouldn't you like to see Him for what He can do for you now? Wouldn't you like to see Him as your Savior, as your friend? Wouldn't you like to see Him as your brother? Bow your head, humble your heart, and say, God, God. Be merciful to me, sinner. Oh God, I repent of my sin. The best I know how, I receive Christ as my Savior. Oh, if you'll pray a prayer, if you'll just say, God, I believe Jesus, God has raised Jesus from the dead. I want to live for Him. Hey, He'll save you. He knows what to do with sinners that will approach Him. He knows what to do with sinners that seek Him. He knows what to do with sinners that in their heart they want to be saved. You may not know how to say a word, but I'll tell you why. If you come in your heart longing, bless God, to be changed. If you come in your heart longing for heaven as your eternal home, God will save you. But we see Jesus. Look at Him. Not a man, thank God. Not a denomination, but Jesus, the man. Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.